It's time for the Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. The views expressed at the Financial Cafe are those of the hosts and do not represent the views of Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, the SIU Board of Trustees, or WSIE Radio. Securities offered through Nickel Investors Corporation at No. 1 Executive Park, Granite City, Illinois, member FINRA and SIPC.
If I had a million dollars.
If I had a million dollars.
If I had a million dollars.
I'd be rich.
And now, welcome to the Financial Cafe and our hosts, Larry Lexo and John Graney.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Larry. How are we doing today?
Can't be any better. I'd be you.
I was going to say that. You stole my line.
Yeah, well, you know
I
how
have
it works.
To go with living the dream, but I was going to say that if I was any better, I would be you.
See, mutual admiration.
Is that what it is?
Thanks to WSIE, Mr. Jankowski and Mr. McQueen, the engineer, for letting us come in once again to work on the next show, putting together some exciting stuff coming up not this week, but the following week. We're going to talk about top 10 tax planning ideas for the end of the year. Believe it or not, it is October, and my goodness, we're heading for Halloween, and the planning must begin.
And the Christmas stuff is already out.
And the Christmas stuff is already out.
I was in Home Depot, and they were putting all the Christmas stuff out, and I was like, it's not even Halloween yet.
It just gets earlier and earlier, John. We do want to thank Chef Shop, as always. Nancy and Scott provided us with some coffee again to sample and give you our perception. I think this one is called what, John?
Well, actually, when I was in there picking it up yesterday, I thought they named it after you, Larry.
And what's that?
It's the 89er.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks, John.
I thought that. Thanks, I was John. Like, is that, did you name that for Larry? And they said, no, Larry's not 89.
Yep. All in due time. Hopefully I make it.
But there you go.
Chef Shop, located in the Schnucks Plaza next to Target. Phone number 618-659-9840. Stop in and show them. And we'll talk a little bit later about a prize that you will attain by mentioning listening
to the
show.
Yes, we finally have been talking about it for so long, we actually finally did it and got a box of goodies over to them to hand out for anyone that comes up and says, hey, we heard about you on the Financial Cafe.
So don't forget, go by the Chef Shop and tell anyone at the desk or Nancy or Scott that you heard about them on the Financial Cafe, and you will be surprised.
So are you pretty much mailing today in when you said that next week will be exciting, but not this week?
Well, this week we're talking about a recap of choosing the right retirement plan.
Which, step number one? Don't do the state plan.
Yeah, don't do the state-run retirement plan. That just gets worse and worse. Can't say better and better because it doesn't. It's worse and worse.
That's government work.
Yeah, it's government work at its best or worst, whichever. But last week we talked about the SEP IRA. We walked through the parameters of the simple IRA and on into at least my personal favorite, the 401k plan, because it provides a lot of flexibility in terms of plan design capabilities. Focusing, we didn't talk a lot about that last week, but helping us to focus on the owners. There are three types of plan designs that come to mind that in talking with the employer. One type is where the employer would like to focus all contributions on them and not so much the participants. That happens probably half of the time. Occasionally, I'll get a plan where the employer wants all of the contribution to go to the employees and not the employer. That's a little more rare, maybe 10-20% of the time, but I have a few. And generally, the majority of them are, okay, I'm an owner, I've got everything at risk. I would like a nice contribution going into my plan so I can retire someday, but I do want to reward the employees because if it were not for them, we would not have the money to be able to put it away, especially on a tax-preferred basis. So, what do you think, John?
Yep, that's what we talked about. And we did talk about the Safe Harbor 401k. That's where if the employer does a couple things with regards to the matching, they can eliminate some of the testing that's put on the plan when they file the 5500. And it also allows the contributions that the employer puts in to be fully vested immediately. One thing that we didn't talk about, and I know you really like to do this because this is right up your alley and what your company does, Larry, but the cross-tested profit share 401k plan. Now, there's a mouthful.
There is a mouthful. We call it sometimes a cross-tested 401k plan. Occasionally, it's called a new comparability. Spell that. Plan. It can also be termed a position-related plan. So new comp, position-related, or cross-tested. What it allows us to do by putting a safe harbor 3% contribution into the plan, we not only waive the ADP and ACP testing. We didn't mention last week that stands for actual deferral percentage and actual contribution percentage tests that we have to run. So we make those go away by putting the 3% in. That allows the owner to put in the full $24,000 if they are 50 or older, and also get the 3%. If that's not sufficient, then we can add on to that. Generally, I'll make it simple because there's a lot of tests that go into this, but if we put another 2% in for everyone, so all employees get 5% of their compensation, then all of a sudden the owner can get 15%, which is called the gateway test, of their compensation. So if we have an owner that's making $100,000, and he puts 5% in for all of the employees, then the owner can put in $15,000 in addition to the $24,000. So all of a sudden, you know, we're up at $39,000. Nice number to work from. If you look at it, if he makes $200,000, 15% of $200,000 is $30,000. You add that to the $24,000, he's at $54,000. We're almost to the limit, being $59,000 if he's over 50. And we can get him there by tweaking the formula a little bit. So it works really, 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 really well for a family. If you have a husband and wife, you have a father and son, or mother and daughters, or mother and son and father and daughters, or any combination thereof, they are all considered highly compensated employees through family attribution rules. And combined, we can get them all up to the maximum as long as we put in the 5% for all of the other employees. So now if it's just mom and dad, and they both work in the business, and we put in $59,000 for both of them, if they're 50 years old or older, that's a lot of money, John. It's $118,000 into a qualified plan without paying any federal or any state tax. And a big chunk of that, since it's an employer contribution, you're not paying FICA or Medicare or unemployment insurance or work comp. So it's significant tax savings over and above just the federal and state tax.
We get to keep more of the money that we actually earn.
We actually get to keep more of the money.
Wow.
But don't,
I like that idea.
Don't let the government know. They might come down and, you know, and ask us about it. But they have been proven time and time again. They are perfectly legal if you know how to apply the formulas. So if somebody says they can't put enough money away for retirement, then I say hogwash. Or is it Hogwarts? I don't know. Whichever.
I guess that depends on the generation.
It depends on the generation, yeah.
Right, well, I'm going to talk about a plan that you don't like. And that is the simple 401k plan. And I would have to agree with you on this one. This one doesn't make much sense to me. I can't even find a reason why someone would want to do this, but it's just like a 401k plan. The employee can contribute. It's for sole proprietors, business owners, limited liability companies, or corporations with 100 or fewer eligible employees. The contribution amount, the employee deferral contribution maximum is the lesser of $12,500 or 100% of comp. So you're not getting, the employee doesn't get to put away as much money. The match, the required match is either 3%, 100% on 3% of the employee of what they contribute, or the employer has to put 2% of compensation in for all eligible employees. The catch-up is half of what you get in other 401k plans. It's $3,000 for 2016. And the age requirement cannot exceed 21, so forth. So it's like a really, really weak 401k plan. I don't have any of these. I've never come across one. I don't know why it's even available, if anyone's even using this. And if they are, send us an email. Please tell us why you chose this over just a regular 401k, because there's no other.
It defies logic.
Okay. I'm glad I'm not the only one that is really struggling with that one. But
It's really kind
have
of
have you ever come across one?
I have never come across one. I have probably been asked about establishing one once or twice, and when I explained to the individual how it works and the limits that you have on a plan of this type, a simple 401k, the question is, why would I do that when I can do a traditional 401k, have larger limits, more options for profit sharing and other types of testing? And it makes no sense. I guess it was probably somebody on a committee who wanted to make sure that something went into bill that they authored, and they came up with this. But it's a lame duck right out of the gate.
So the definition of simple in this case is not easy to apply or use, but
just a dumb plan.
Yeah, exactly. It's just okay. So the simple IRA was because it's easy to use. That adjective made sense. In this case, it's just because it's a dumb plan.
It's a dumb plan. Thank you. And therefore,
moving right along. Well, since we talked about the cross-tested, why don't we jump in to the profit sharing, and then because that can be applied in with the cross-tested plan and get to put even more money away and pay less in taxes. This is a good show. This is exciting stuff.
Save lots of money, lots of taxes, which is a huge need in today's society, because as we all know, Social Security and pensions and those types of things are either going to be changing or going away altogether, depending on the status as we go forward. The profit sharing component, and this is a little confusing to people, is all 401k plans are first profit sharing plans. The main document is a profit sharing trust document that establishes a plan and defines parameters. One of those parameters, there's an election in the profit sharing document to utilize the 401k provision that allows participants to put money into the plan out of their own pocket. So we take the old traditional profit sharing plan, 1981, someone discovered the 401k, the name escapes me right now, but it was an individual out in the Northeast. And the 401k provision was added to the profit-sharing document so you could elect it. It was optional. You didn't have to use it. And I actually have two plans that do not use it. So they are on strictly a profit-sharing document with no 401k participation deferral within the plan. So profit-sharing allows you to put in up to 25% of the compensation for all individuals covered by the plan. That also was a change. Originally, profit-sharing contribution limit was 15%. So we combined that with a money purchase plan. You don't hear that name anymore very much. They still do exist, but the limit on a money purchase plan was also 15%. But you could do 15% on the profit-sharing component. You could add 10% more from the money purchase plan, and all of a sudden we were at the 25% limit. Someone in the Department of Labor, IRS, Congress, who knows, finally realized that everybody's doing 25% anyway, but it's taking two plans to do it, and they expanded the limit of compensation contribution on the profit sharing to 25%, therefore no longer requiring a money purchase plan to be operated. And during that period of time, we terminated all of our money purchase plans and rolled that money into the profit sharing plan, and of course had the same limit on it. So
there is an example of something good.
It was efficient. It was actually efficient. So I can't imagine government came up with it, but they did. All of the money purchase plans,
well,
basically.
That person probably is out of a job.
Probably. No doubt. They improved things, and so they got fired. But the money purchase plan is still out there. I have maybe one or two money purchase plans still in existence. They really don't have to be, other than a money purchase plan required the contribution as stated in the document to be put in every year. It was not optional as it is in a profit sharing plan. So therefore, in the case of the two plans I have, they made a commitment to their employees to put in, I think one is 3%, the other one's 5% of their compensation. And they felt by using a money purchase plan, the commitment was made. They had no choice. They had to make the contribution. Whereas if they had moved it to a profit sharing plan, they would have some discretion, and they didn't want to allow that. So they continue, and that works fine. But a profit sharing plan combined with a 401k option is pretty much everything that you need to reach the 50 $9,000 limit, or $53,000 if you're not 50 years old yet. And that's 50 by December 31st. So even if someone turns 50 December 30th or December 31st, they still can put in the $6,000 catch-up for that particular calendar year.
No, and I have most of my plans have the profit sharing, and the employers really like that because if the company does well, it helps incentivize the employees that there'll be some extra money going into the plan on their behalf because of their efforts. And if the company doesn't do well, then, well, you know, the money doesn't go in on the profit sharing side of it. So it's a great combination. I think it works well when you have a cross-tested or the new comparability plan that you mentioned in helping family members maximize and getting their employees really interested in saving for retirement, because it's easier to think about it when the company's putting in some sizable chunks of money into your account for you. It helps motivate you and get you going. At least that's what I see in my experiences with the clients that I have.
I would have to concur, John, and I'll mention two things related to that before we move on. One, there are multiple contribution sources, as we talk about in the TPA business. The source can be a profit-sharing contribution. It is, in most cases, discretionary, unless stated in the document that it is a mandatory contribution. There is a match provision where the employer can elect to do a match. If so, the participant needs to be notified what the match is, so they're given opportunity to take advantage of it. You have participant deferral. That's the money coming out of the participant's paycheck. So we have participant deferral. We have a possibility of a match, possibility of profit sharing. When we cross test, then we do additional contributions. So you have multiple sources, basically, of money. And the plan can be designed in a new comparability. I've got a couple of cases where the owner has multiple manufacturing facilities in multiple states. So we put in a base contribution, which amounts in their case to about 5%. So it's a good start for everybody. And then they make additional profit sharing contributions based on, guess what, profit. So if the plant in Timbuktu, where is Timbuktu anyway? If the plant in Timbuktu is...
Next to Timbuktu 3?
It could be, or Timbuktu 1. The plant is doing better and contributing a greater percentage to the bottom line profit, then they would get the 5% that everybody gets, but then they might get another 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever percent to just those employees. So cross-testing or position-related, or in this case, plant-related contributions can be designed into the plan if you know how to do it. And that's where we come in, because that's what we do for a living. So it gives you the capability of really tailoring a plan. We do a daycare. We do several daycares, actually. And when the company does well, then they opt at the end of the year to use their discretion to make a profit-sharing contribution to the plan to reward the employees for doing a good job servicing the clients. So it gives you a lot of flexibility, as well as helping the owners to maximize their contributions in good years and in bad years.
Right. All right. So we've talked about SEP IRA, Simple IRA, 401k, Safe Harbor 401k, profit sharing. We had to mention the Simple 401k, even though it's really the stupid 401k. And the last one that we haven't talked about is the cash balance plan. But before we jump into that, let me give you two sources. If you are a small business owner or a business owner and you wanted to review or get a retirement plan comparison chart, maybe you're thinking about setting up a plan, you have a plan, you're not sure it's the right plan, a couple of places you can go. The 401k Help Center, which is 401khelpcenter.com, and then put in retirement plan comparison chart, and you'll get yourself a nice 5-page, looks like an Excel spreadsheet chart to kind of lay out the pros, the cons, what works, what doesn't work, and so forth with regards to the different plans that we talked about. Or you can go to the DOL.gov and then choosing a retirement solution for your small business, which is about a 10-page article that, again, has different charts and gives you the basic information on these different plans that we talked about. So the last planet we have to talk about before we wrap up today's show and talk about Larry's coffee and all that good stuff
is the
cash balance plan.
The cash balance plan is an interesting hybrid.
The government likes it.
I know, it's a hybrid. Just like the government. Anyway, it is a basic 401k profit-sharing plan that allows the participants to max out their contribution at the $24,000 or $18,000 level based on their age. But it combines what's called a cash balance plan because they came about as the old defined benefit plans were going away. Many large companies in the country today took their defined benefit plan and they froze it, which means that they quit accruing future benefit. They just maintained the money in there to pay out the benefits that had been promised as of that particular point in time. And they mostly put in a cash balance plan. The attributes of a cash balance plan, it assumes retirement generally at a specified age, 65 or 66. And the goal is to establish a benefit at that point while earning, I like to call it imaginary interest, in over a period of time.
Government interest?
So government interest, yeah, it's imaginary. So that as you approach retirement, then the amount going into the plan goes up at a fixed rate, maybe 4%, 5%, 6%. And at retirement, you can take it in as a lump sum, you can take it as a pension, you can do what you want. But the big advantage I see in cash balance plans when they're combined with 401k profit sharing, it helps us establish a significantly larger limit to the contribution going in for highly compensated employees. For example, if I've got, go back to my lawyer, doctor, Indian chief, I don't know why I keep going there. But if they wanted to put in more than the $59,000 we talked about with the cross-tested plan, if we installed a cash balance plan with very little additional money going in for everybody else, they would be able to put in maybe $120,000 or $150,000 on a pre-tax basis. This, I hate to say it, has a great application for people who have a high earning capacity and who, for a variety of reasons, either didn't start putting money away or became divorced and lost most of or half of their nest egg for retirement later in life. So if an individual, say, 55 years old, they're going to work another 10 years, you know, you can only put away $59,000. I mean, that's good. That's, you know, almost $600,000 you put away. But if they're used to living a rich lifestyle, they want to do more than that, and we could bump them up to about $120,000 contribution. Well, that's more like $1.2 million that they would put away over 10 years. So it facilitates putting in additional money. The provisions are you have to have the money. You have to be able to fund it. You can't decide on a year-to-year basis that you do or do not want to fund it. So there has to be a consistent high level cash flow and that you want to put it away for on a pre-tax basis for retirement. So cash balance plans can be designed to meet a number of different situations. I guess the bottom line, John, as I see it, is individuals like you and I who have been in this business for a long, long time know inherently by asking a few questions of the employer which type of plan is going to be the best one. Do they want to benefit themselves and their family? Do they want to benefit the employees? Do they want to benefit both? How much money do they want to put in? If they only have $10,000 a year they can defer into a plan, then maybe the simple is the best plan. If they don't intend on doing profit sharing, maybe the simple is the best plan. But if they want by far the most flexibility with the highest level of deductible contribution, the traditional 401k, potentially with new comparability or some other provisions attached to it and a proper design, will get the job done every time.
Absolutely. I agree. And if you are a small business owner and you're contemplating, as Larry was saying, you have all these questions, sit down with an advisor, sit down with a plan administrator like Larry and go over these ideas and concepts, how it could impact your business. And once you've spoken with that person and gotten your pros and cons checked off and you figure out, okay, I'm going to go with this one. And maybe after 3 years, situations change. You go from a simple SEP IRA or simple IRA And all of a sudden, you know what? Now the 401k makes more sense. You want to be more competitive with your competition to it, so you can retain employees. Well, guess what? When that year comes around, then you can go ahead and set up the 401k and either terminate or freeze the existing plan that's in place. Leave it up to the employees whether they want to roll or however they want to do with their money. But make the decision, move on, and then down the road, if you have to make another decision, go ahead and make that other decision.
Last topic I want to touch on before we wrap things up today, and hopefully we were able to touch on a lot of provisions of the various plans that are available, are fees. You know, what fees are involved? When you do a traditional 401k, profit sharing, money purchase, cash balance, any type of plan, you have to hire a third-party administration company. Those fees can vary significantly. I've seen fees anywhere from $800 or $900 a year, that's an annual fee, up to $2,000 a year. So it helps to check around with various companies to see what they are doing for you and how much they're charging to do that. So that's a fee that's typically paid by the employer. It is tax deductible as a employee benefit fee. Then you get into the actual selection of the investments. We have management fees for the investments, depending on where they're placed. We have fees to pay for the advisor who's advising the plan. There may be other charges and fees, but you should be well aware of them in all cases, because it is the trustee's duty, if you will, it's a fiduciary duty, to know what fees they're paying and that they are indeed reasonable. But the amount of money you pay in fees is far outweighed by the tax benefit on any of these plans. And what we typically do is we ask for compensation if the business has a history, compensation for, say, a prior year, and we'll run a hypothetical illustration. So feel free to ask whoever you're dealing with for that. And it would show you, you know, what if you had the plan last year and these were the provisions, here are the limits of what you could put in or could not put in. So it gives you a real good look at the tax savings that you passed up last year, but you could implement in the current year.
And you want to make sure that in this situation, you want to make sure that you're working with a specialist, a true TPA, third-party administrator. The complexity of these calculations, of the plans, everything that's going on with regulations, you don't want to be caught with a situation where you want to save a couple bucks on your fees and you weren't working with the TPA, it's done incorrectly, because you will get clobbered with penalties and so forth. The DOL and IRS and ERISA, they're really coming down hard on these types of plans and making sure that they're done correctly.
They really do. They you know, we work with the DOL and IRS all the time. They're good people. They want to see it done right, and it can be done right if you have a qualified individual helping you, because it is your responsibility ultimately to make sure that the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. So you either hire someone who is competent and capable of doing that, or you learn how to do it yourself. But I find most business owners, their time's more valuable doing their business instead of doing retirement plans.
So our coffee today.
Let's hear it.
This is the 89er blend. I affectionately call it the Larry blend.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a unique combination of chocolate fudge, Irish cream, hazelnut, and I don't mind it because I can't taste the hazelnut too much because it's really powered by the amaretto. So it's. I took a sip of it. First thing I said to Larry goes, wow, that's full of flavor. In my opinion, since I am a Highlander grog kind of morning person, I want the straight up Joe to get me going. This is a great coffee after, you know, a nice big holiday meal. You got Thanksgiving coming up, Christmas. This is just a great after-dinner coffee, full of flavor. It's good. I like it.
I think that's a newer coffee for the chef shop, because I don't believe it was on our original list.
When I went in there yesterday and talked to them, they said it's been on there for about a year.
Okay. Well, I definitely will get some of that, because I really enjoyed it. All of the flavors right up my alley, and it's very mild, wasn't strong, knock you off your feet. It's just a good sipping coffee, which I can drink just about any time.
There we go. I liked it.
The Chef's Shop, located in Edwardsville and Schnucks Plaza next to Target. Go in and see Scott, see Nancy. Their phone number is 618-659-9840. Email at chefs.shop, at chefs.shoppe@prodigy.net, and get some coffee. and get a surprise if you mention you heard.
Free gifts if you say, hey, I heard about you guys on the Financial Cafe.
And that's going to wrap it up for today, John. The Financial Cafe on WSIE 88.7, The Sound, located on the Southern Illinois University campus. Thanks for having us on board again, and we look forward to coming back soon.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to The Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop in Edwardsville, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. Listeners are invited to send your questions regarding retirement, investments, or any other financial topic that may pique your interest. Send the questions to John at jgraney@nickelfinancial.com or to Larry at lexo@nickelfinancial.com. John and Larry will discuss those questions each week during their Q&A session. If you prefer, they will respond to you in private. Thanks for listening to the Financial Cafe on 88.7 WSIE The Sound.